Lord God, speak to us today. We're listening. We so want to hear your voice. We so want to hear your wisdom. So open our ears that we might hear you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, apparently back when telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. And he was answering an ad in the newspaper. He went to this office address that was listed. And when he arrived there, he entered a large, busy office. It was filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. And there was a sign on the receptionist counter, and it said that job applicants had to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter this inner office for their interview. So this young man filled out his form, sat down with seven other applicants in the waiting area, and after a few minutes, the young man just stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, thinking, what's going on here? And they were muttering amongst themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet or what was going on. And they assumed that the young man who went into the office had made a mistake and would be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled. The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and one spoke up saying, wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never got a chance to be interviewed, yet he got the job. That's not fair. Why do you think he got the job? Anyone got an idea?
He heard on the Morse code.
Oh, she's good. He heard on the Morse code in this busy office that he was meant to go in. The employer said, I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard or understood it. The young man did. So the job is his. Folks, have you ever missed anything important? Have you ever missed anything important? Do you notice anything different about me this morning? What is it, Mervyn?
You have something
on your left ear. Oh, I thought you were going to say you're wearing a jacket. I have something in my right ear. Absolutely, okay. Now, does anyone know what this is? It's not a... Huh? Earplug. These aren't that bad singers. Okay. It's just a wee. It's a wee headphone. Okay. And I go about often with this in, and I could be listening to football. I'm not today. I promise. Or a podcast or an audiobook. Has anyone else got a wee set like this? These sorts of wee things. All right. Or AirPods or something like that. And I put these in. And Zara hates it. Okay, because she'll be talking to me and she'll be like, you're not listening to me, are you? You've got something in your ear. And I will say, yes. No, I won't, but I will. So she really doesn't like it because you don't know, do you, that somebody's got these things in your ear. And sometimes I'm walking along listening to an audiobook or something or whatever, and somebody's speaking to me, and you just tap it and switch it off, okay? But sometimes you do miss really important things. Sometimes I'll miss something very important that Zara's told me about, picking a lies up or something or whatever, because I've got these headphones in. Has anyone ever missed anything? It used to be there were big, massive things, weren't they? You couldn't miss them. But now they're just these wee tiny things you put in your ear. One time I was on a train journey from Coleraine. I can't remember where I was going to speak somewhere. And I had my headphones in and I was listening to podcasts or whatever. And I didn't hear that there had been a diversion and I had to get off at a particular place and I ended up in the middle of nowhere. Disaster. We can miss things that are really, really important. In Genesis 28, Jacob has this experience. You know, he's running from his very angry brother because he's stolen the birthright. He falls asleep with his head on a rock. And then he sees this incredible vision of angels ascending and descending heaven. This Jacob's ladder we would talk about. And when Jacob wakes up, he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. I was not aware of it. He goes on to say, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now, folks, I wonder, have you thought about the reality It says in the Old Testament that wisdom is always speaking over the marketplace. I wonder if you ever thought about the reality that we have access to God at all times, but when we don't know Him or feel Him or experience Him or perceive Him, it's because of a deficiency on our side, not on His. I have a favorite wee book. I talked about it in the prayer meeting there. I prayed about it in the prayer meeting. It's a book called The Garden, the Curtain, and the Cross. It's a children's book. Buy it for the child in your life. It's incredible. But it keeps on talking about these cherubim who guarded Eden when Adam and Eve were put out. And it keeps on saying because of their sin, they couldn't go in. Because of their sin, they couldn't go in. Then Jesus visits the temple and he sees this big thick curtain hanging there in the temple, stopping people getting into the presence of God. And it says because of their sin, they couldn't get in. But when Jesus dies on the cross, we talked about on Easter Sunday morning, that curtain rips. And even because of their sin, they could still go in because of what Jesus has done for us. That is the access that we have. And some parts of the church talk about living under an open heaven. We have unbelievable access to the presence of God because of what Jesus has done for us. But oftentimes we walk about with our headphones in, unaware that God is in this place, that this is the very kind of doorway of heaven. There's nothing to stop us from accessing the presence of God now, bar us. A.W. Tozer said, you're as close to God as you want to be. You're as close to God as you want to be. And there's reasons why sometimes we miss Jesus, and I can't mention them all this morning because we don't have time. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things choke the word in our lives, making it unfruitful. Preoccupation. Who feels a bit too busy to pray in the room? Preoccupation can do that. We know Martha was told that, Martha, you're concerned with many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better portion. We all have many things to do, but Mary prioritized the presence of God. Preoccupation can cause us to be disconnected even though we have access. Stress, okay? Stress can block us from the presence of God. What do I mean by that? Well, this is, in my view, one of the most powerful, important verses in the whole of the Scriptures. I've thought about this so deeply for so many years now. Luke 12, verses 11 to 12. This is Jesus kind of warning the disciples and warning us. Not if you are brought before synagogues. He says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves. Now, if you are brought up before a council that could kill you because of your faith, would you worry? I would worry. Okay? And don't even worry how you'll defend yourself. Because what are you supposed to do? For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. What a thing. Like, imagine what your internal sort of conversation would be if you knew you could be killed for your faith and you were being tried for your faith. You'd be like, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Am I going to lie? Am I going to tell the truth? Am I going to, you know, are they going to throw me to the lions? Are they going to throw me in a furnace? What are they going to do? Am I ever going to have a job again? Am I ever going to see my family again? You think all these things. Jesus says, don't worry about what you'll say, how you'll defend yourself. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. Access what you have access to, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. It's just incredible, isn't it, that we could do this in that moment. Take out the headphones and listen to God. Take out the headphones and access the voice that is speaking if you would only listen to it. It's a very hard thing to do. And I would say, folks, that we might have the idea that ministers or world famous like evangelists and Christians and all sorts of are people who just sort of hear God and it's dead easy for them. I would imagine that it's not easy for anybody. The famous writer Richard Foster, who writes about prayer all the time, he says when he opens his Bible or goes to pray, monkeys start jumping about the inside of his head. Okay? In other words, there's just so many things that are going on in his head that to tune into the voice of God is almost impossible for him. And he is the giant of prayer. Really, when we look back, there are just a couple of people in church history and even recent church history who have written about this stuff, about really being able to practice the presence of God and hear God even in the frantic preoccupation and stress of life. One of them you'll know probably quite well, a guy called Brother Lawrence. Put up your hand if you've heard of this person's name. Okay. So Brother Lawrence, sort of wild-living young Frenchman or whatever, was converted and he ended up serving in a monastery, and he had all sorts of hopes about how he might serve in that place. But he was given the job of washing the dishes, much like my own life at home. Okay? He was given the job of washing the dishes. And he was so disappointed, he thought that over there in worship is where the real spiritual work's done. That's where the magic happens, in a sense. But then one day he thought about it, and he thought about that passage in John where it says about, you know, the branch being connected to the vine, and if the branch is disconnected to the vine, how can there be fruit? You know this passage. And he thought, well, how is it that we have this idea that when we go to worship four times a day, we connect with God? But when we do all these other tasks of the day, we're disconnected from him, and it's not worship or it's not important. And what Brother Lawrence decided was he would make his life a kind of experiment, that with every dish he would wash, he would worship the Lord. He took so seriously that verse where it says, take captive every thought, make it obedient unto Christ. He took captive every dish and worshiped Jesus with it. And he wanted his life to be an experiment in moment by moment by moment, hearing God and tuning into the voice of God, practicing the presence of God. Because if we believe that God, Jesus has promised us that he'd be with us to the end of the age, to the end of the earth, why would he think he wouldn't be with us at the sink? Why would we think he wouldn't be with us in our parenting or in our jobs or whatever we do? Of course he is. But what we need to do is learn how to tune into him. Another guy more recently is a guy called Loback. Okay, Loback. A guy called Frank Loback, an American congregational minister and missionary who died in the 1970s. And Frank Loback took some of this stuff forward and further on. And he talked about the sacrament of the moment. Like so many things, and we'll think about this in a few minutes, but so many things when we respond in worship, we're responding the past and the future. You know? So our when we're thinking about serving God, we're thinking, but look at all the things I've done that have been bad in the past. Look at all the mistakes I've made in the past. Look at how many times I've tried to serve Jesus in the past and failed miserably. It's always in the past, or else it's in the future. Okay, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray four times a day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The past and the future. Where do you think Frank Loback wants you to live? In the present. And he says, God is here right now. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart right now. How will you respond to him right now? There's nothing you can do about the past. You know, you can make all kinds of promises about the future. The book of Lamentations says our intentions are like the mist. But what you can offer to Jesus right now is how you will respond to him right now. Frozen 2, the prophet spoke it very well. All you can do is the next right thing. Isn't that right? Do the next right thing. Right here in this moment, what is your response to Jesus? The sacrament of the moment was the kind of Frank Loback phrase. He used to sing this song, moment by moment I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. The first wee idea I want us to think about is recognizing the presence of God. Recognizing the presence of God. I don't know if you've noticed, but post-resurrection, for some mysterious reason, whether it be spiritual perception or whether it be the fact that Jesus looks different in some way after his resurrection. But people struggle to recognize him. To give you a few examples of that, we see Mary in the garden thinks he's the gardener. Isn't that right? Where have you laid my Lord? Thinking he's the gardener. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, even though these two disciples would have known Jesus really well, they don't recognize him as they're walking along. And it's only when they look back and feel the holy heartburn that they know this was really Jesus who was there. And now we see, well, last week, as Richard shared with us from the early part of John 21, we know that just as day was breaking, Jesus stood, verse 4, on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Now, did they not know it was Jesus just because dawn was breaking and visibility was poor? Possibly. But later on, it says in verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." But none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Why on earth would they even think of asking him, "Who are you?" Because they didn't quite recognize him. This recognition of Jesus is so very important. This was now the third time, verse 14. It says, "This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Recognizing Jesus. This is just a really random thing, but I was looking at Psalm 3, which is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And it says this, "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O God, are present moment, a shield about me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord. He answered me from his holy hill." Listen to this. "I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." The psalmist recognizes that God actually sustains his sleep. What about Psalm 23? The whole thing about a shepherd is the thing that sets a shepherd aside is he stays with his sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It goes on to say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me." The psalmist recognizes, even in the darkest times, you're with me. Then Revelation 3, verse 20, we don't even need to look that up. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you let me in, I will come and eat with you." And here Jesus says, "Come and have breakfast." See, throughout the Bible, whether you're sleeping, whether you're grieving, whether you're eating Frosties or Cheerios, or whether you're having your tea, God wants to share that with you, and he wants to be with you in that. He wants us to stop disconnecting and only reconnecting for an hour on a Sunday morning or a couple hours or life group or whatever. He wants us to live all our lives in his presence. And here, when they're on this boat and they don't recognize this guy on the shore, and John says, "It is the Lord," you know what Peter does? He jumps out of the boat and goes towards him. I want to encourage you that we need to be people who recognize the Lord and are desperate to live our lives and be in his presence. Is that what we're doing? And then the second thing that we need to do is to be truly present. If we move to the next slide, be truly present. See, it's okay to say that the Lord is here. And I mean, how many times have you been at a poorly attended prayer meeting and someone said, "Don't worry, we're two or three are gathered in his name, he's with us." Okay, how many times have you been at that? I'm not sure even that's what that passage is about, but it'll do anyway. Okay, so knowing that he's present is one thing. But what we also need to do is to be present ourselves. So going back to that standing before the council and standing before that scary moment where they'll decide whether you live or die or whatever, what Jesus says is, don't defend yourself. Don't get into that internal thinking about how I'm going to defend myself, how I'm going to defend myself. Be present. Listen to the Holy Spirit in that moment, and God will give you the words to say. Does anybody here use Lectio 365, the app? Anybody? Okay, some people. If you really struggle to pray, okay, and in fact, even if you don't, okay, but if you do struggle to pray, get yourself this wee free app called Lectio 365, and it'll give you a guided prayer time every day, beautiful to listen to and really meditate through and stuff. Give it a go if you struggle with prayer. But Lectio 365, the one thing that's really struck me about it is they use this language where they do this thing called, they call it pray. Okay, that's novel, isn't it? Pause, reflect, ask, and then yield. And if you download it, you'll see that. But in the pause section, as we come into the presence of God, here's what it says. It says, pause to be still, to breathe slowly. And it says this, to recenter your scattered senses upon the presence of God. Put up your hand if you've got scattered senses. Who's got scattered senses? We've all got them. Who's got the monkeys that jump around the brain? We've all got the monkeys. All right. Not only Ross Geller. We've all got a monkey. Our scattered senses. And we need to pause in our lives, recenter upon the presence of God. Let's not be people who go through a day without being fully present with God. Let's be people who could pause and recenter our scattered senses. And when Jesus, remember, Peter recognizes Jesus, mostly because John recognized him. It is the Lord. He jumps out of the boat. He goes. He has breakfast. And Jesus takes him aside for a one-on-one. It's really important that we have one-on-ones with Jesus. And he has a one-on-one with Peter. And Peter thinks, Jesus is going to be cross at me because I denied him 3 times. And he's going to say to me, why did you do that? And Peter, being Peter, would have said, I won't do it the next time, Jesus. So Jesus would have said, you've messed up the past. And Peter would have said, I'll be better in the future. But Jesus doesn't say that, does he? What does he say? What does he say? Do you love me? Now, is that about the past? Is that about the future? It's here. Do you love me? Like right now, do you love me? Like when I ask somebody, when I'm going around in my visits, to say, are you a Christian? And I'll say, I was baptized, I was confirmed. You know, past. Do you know what I need to ask them? Yeah, but right now, do you love Jesus? Right now, do you love Jesus? The present moment, that's a question for us all this morning. Do you love Jesus? The present question. And you know, then he says, serve me in that. That's the only way you can serve me. Feed my lambs. It's a really important question. They should ask it, you know, when people go to be ministers. They should ask it when people want to be Sunday school teachers. They should ask it to everybody. Do you love Jesus? Well, then serve me out of that. Because we know that in Matthew chapter 7, it says that somebody comes to Jesus on the last day and says, but I did this and I did that, and I prophesied in your name, I cast demons out in your name, I did mighty works in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. So you can do a bunch of things, but it's, do you love me? Do you love me? Is the question. Judas, I'm sure, served Jesus for a long time, but I don't think he loved him. He loved some silver more, didn't he? Do you love me? And you know, this staying present with Jesus and learning how to be present with Jesus, even when we don't have all the kind of razzmatazz of a conference or a church on a Sunday morning or whatever, it's been tested through lockdown, hasn't it? Even when you've got nothing else, what's your one-on-one relationship with Jesus like? Do you love him? When there was no church, did you love him? You know? When there were no big conferences, do you love him? Do you love him? Being present with him. It's fascinating. We talked earlier, didn't we, about things that stop us from recognizing Jesus, being things like preoccupation and stress. But one of the other ones comes up a little bit later, because do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter eventually says, well, what about him? What about him? And he points to John. What about him? And you know, I think it's a big problem, isn't it? That we compare ourselves with other people. Our primary thing in our lives needs to be our relationship with Jesus and us being present with him, not comparing ourselves to other people. Do you love him? When we stand before the Lord, it's not going to be, you know, did you love him more than George? Or did you love him more than Raymond? It's going to be, do you love Jesus? Let's be present with a present Lord. Be present with a present Lord. I was going to say something else, folks, but I'm just going to leave it there because I want to do something. So if the band would come forward. I'll talk about the other stuff some other day. And I'm not even going to, I always ask us to stand. I'm not even going to ask us to stand today. Just where we're sitting. Someone once said, the reason why we fear silence and use headphones and put on the TV in the background is because silence reminds us of death. It reminds us of what it will be like when it's just us and God. But can I encourage you, especially this morning, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, we don't need to be afraid of one-on-ones with Jesus. Folks, I just want to sing a wee song with you. You'll know it well. I just want to sing one particular verse, which has just come to me. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. I hope I know the words, all right? Let's all just sing this quietly.
Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No word too hard for him. In faith receive from him. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place.
So just without any music, just for a second, guys, with no razzmatazz or whatever, let's just put ourselves, let's just with our eyes closed, let's just put ourselves into this story. The risen Lord, who we have denied at times, all of us, me included, wants us to take off our headphones right now. Not think of anybody else. It's just you and Jesus. And he says to you this morning, do you love me? Holy Spirit, knock on doors knock on the door of my heart. And let this be a morning where we let the Lord Jesus in. Do you love me? Maybe there's a person this morning here who wants to say to Jesus for the first time ever, I've seen your cross, I've seen what you've done for me, and I want to say this morning, yes, I love you. And maybe there are others who just know our love's grown a little cold. And the lovely thing is that even when Peter can't say, yes, I heroically love you, I'll die for you, he actually says, well, come and follow me anyway.